7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, folks, and welcome back. Resort Ears Radio. Greg Davis with you here. Mike O'Brien will join me shortly. On this episode, we're going to dive into what's been going on at Walt Disney World. Epcot Construction's kicking into high gear in the Tron Light Cycle roller coaster over at the Magic Kingdom. Guardians of the Galaxy coaster over at Epcot are just ahead of us. Finally, all the hotel resorts are now open after the 2020 COVID closure. Also, is Disney in danger of losing its self-governance in the Reedy Creek Improvement District? And finally, we'll talk in depth all about the Star Wars Galaxy Galactic Star Cruiser and more. All that and more, only on this very happy Easter edition of Resort Ears Radio. And it all starts right now. Well, Mike, welcome back. It's been a heck of a long time, but we're back at it again here. Greg Davis, Mike O'Brien, joining you for this one, episode number 32 of the Resort Ears Radio podcast. And, Mike, how are you, pal?
I'm doing pretty darn great. Only took us about an hour to figure out how to use this Podbean recording thing.
It's been so long that we honestly forgot. This is embarrassing, but we forgot about how to use, like, how the hell to actually do this. So we figured it out. It's all good. Hey, awesome news too. Before we dive into it, obviously there's been a ton of updates since our last show, which honestly is almost a year ago at this point. Last show was April 25th, 2021. So we're vastly approaching that. Easter is tomorrow, so happy Easter to all those who celebrate. Happy Easter to you, Mike.
And happy Easter to you, Greg, and everybody out there in our Resort Ears family.
Every year, I traditionally will wake up on Easter and put on one of the old Easter parade telecasts from yesteryear, you know, usually starting Regis Philbin and Joan London, or Alan Thicke was in a bunch of those. Something I like to do on Easter. It's kind of become a tradition in our house. I'll throw one on. Just kind of pick a year, and, you know, we'll see. So I don't even know which one we'll watch, but all those are on YouTube. They're awesome to watch. And I really wish that they would have brought that back and had it on ABC, but we have to settle for just the Christmas parade, although it's basically just a giant infomercial. But
yeah, it's gotten bad. And the sad part about it is, our kids will never know how pretty and awesome the Disney Easter parade down Main Street was. And
it's still a resort too. You know, that time of year, everything's in bloom. You know. And, you know, in the Northeast here, you know, and I guess this is the first time you're listening, we're here in Connecticut. But, you know, we're just getting out of our winter slumber and putting away the snow shovels, and grass is, you know, sprouting and plants are growing and all that stuff. But down in Florida, they're already a month ahead practically, you know. So it's
flower and garden's already going on.
Yeah. It's always great to see it in sunny Florida. And they always used to say in the beginning of this parade too, like, you know, coming to you from Orlando, Florida, and from sunny Orlando, Florida, or beautiful Orlando, Florida. And it was, you know, temperatures 89 degrees or 70, you know, 79 or, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And as, like we were saying kind of about it, like, you know, I make sure I put on the Easter parade for, you know, my 1.5 year old. I mean, so I've been technically 2 Easters, but it still stinks that they don't cover it anymore, and they're starting to lose a lot of that special Disney stuff that made us. I mean, we'll always love the parks and we'll always want to be there and talk about it, but there was always this extra special magic outside of the park that seems to be just losing its luster these days.
Well, Easter doesn't make them a lot of money, you know. Halloween and the Halloween parade, you know, Halloween parties and Christmas parade and all that, Christmas party. do. They're moneymakers. So one of the things I saw actually just today, and again, we're recording this April. What's today's date, Brian? 16th?
Yeah, around there.
22. Yeah. Easter's tomorrow. But I saw on Twitter this morning that the resort is not going to or rather that the resort is essentially outsourced, quote unquote, the Easter services. They used to actually hold, not to get religious, but they used to hold like a non-denominational, you know, kind of Easter service on Easter Sunday, you know, in the Contemporary down in the Ballroom in the Americas. And, you know, it was free to go. Anyone could attend. If you're staying on vacation and you want to bring the family to church and not have to go super far, you could go over to the Contemporary and, you know, enjoy an Easter service together and, you know, get something to eat and enjoy the resort. And I always thought that was really cool. I mean, what other vacation destination, you know, goes to that length on, you know, a day like Easter, you know, where, you know, Christians celebrate, you know, Easter and rising of Christ and all that stuff, to have an actual service at their, at one of their flagship hotels. I mean, I thought that was cool.
There is none that I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now they're, and again, there's a myriad of reasons. Who knows? And maybe it wasn't well attended anymore. I have no idea, but it just kind of made me sad that they, kind of got rid of that. And now, you know, they have a listing of, you know, hey, if you're, you know, if you like to attend, you know, church services, religious services, here's a list of, you know, tons of the churches in the area to attend. So, which is nice, but, you know, not quite the same as it used to be. So things change, things stay the same, but, you know, there's quite a lot of change. Speaking of changes, there's lots of changes, both good and bad. I think just on a good note, all the resort hotels are finally fully reopened, Mike. And, you know, it took them quite a while. We weren't sure when, you know, it seemed like the last of the moderates weren't quite open yet. Obviously, All-Star Sports, music and movies all open. They were kind of sort of the last to open up. And, you know, I believe sports was, but, everything's back reopened, fully functioning, which is nice to see. Port Orleans, French Quarter and Riverside, which I know your favorite resorts are back open. And they were a few of the last remaining ones as well. But,
yes, thank God, Port Orleans River, French Quarter is open. To me, that is like the happiest of happiest days. There's just something about the resort that there's not many resorts in my mind in Disney anymore that transport you to somewhere else. It makes you feel like, okay, I'm leaving Magic Kingdom. I'm still in the Disney bubble, but I'm going to a Disney New Orleans theme or a Disney hotel. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No, 100%. So with the All-Stars now reopened with music, movies, and sports now reopened. I think those are the last ones to come online. Everything's back open now and fully functioning. So that's good. I shouldn't say fully functioning. Who knows if they're at 100%. They might not be. But, you know, at least they're reopened. You can go book them online. So that's good to see. Other, you know, changes, I think, since our last show, I mean, there's been a ton. But one of the big ones, entertainment. You know, that's starting to slowly come back. We saw Yeehaw Bob Jackson. You know, speaking of speaking of Port Orleans, Yeehaw Bob back at it, back in front of the piano over there at what do they call it? Like, Crow's Nest or something, or
Cook? Yeah, something like that. It's it's over on it's over at Riverside.
Yeah, sure,
from the French Quarter.
Yep. So he's over there tickling the ivories over there, which is awesome to see. Love it. Hollywood Studios got some Street Mascara characters back on back at work as well. So they're added back. Grand Floridian Orchestra. I mean, obviously, they are in a smaller capacity now, and they got moved, obviously, from there. That's one I'm really, and actually, that's one that we didn't really cover a lot. Probably in our last show, because I think it actually happened after our last show. But Meisner's Lounge, obviously, going away, transitioning to the Enchanted Rose Lounge at the Grand Flow. You know, I've checked out the Enchanted Rose. It's okay. I really like Meisner's Lounge. I really liked the simplicity of it, but yet the subtle elegance of it, if that makes sense. I think the orchestra was awesome. Again, another piece of Disney tradition and history that you didn't find anywhere else at any other hotel anywhere, you know? So, and I'm glad they brought them back in some form. Sad they moved, but, you know, changes happen. You know, big story, long story short, entertainment coming back, I think is a big thing, you know, and that was a lot of what we were missing, certainly during COVID, but even more recently, you know, I think, you know, the parks are great. Don't get me wrong, but it's the cast that makes it special. It's what makes it, makes the magic. It sounds cliche, but it's true, you know, and you and I both have been down there enough to know, you know, when you have great interaction with cast and how that feels, and it kind of makes your day and makes your vacation special. And that's, you know, without that, it's a glorified Six Flags.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, I'm going with that vein real quick. I think that, thank God that there's still cast members that want to do that. While I kind of feel the management wants to move it in a totally different way.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I mean, I totally agree. And, you know, not to get too off track, but I think what we're going to – there's a good chance that Bob Chapek may not be leading this company in the near future.
I don't
know. Because I think what's going to happen is the shareholders are going to speak, and there's enough – you know, people are talking their wild. Now, there's enough demand built up for this right now. People want to go on vacation. They want to spend discretionary income. So that's, you know, that's positive for the company. But all of the negative, I think, that's happened. And, I get it. They lost, I want to say it was $8 billion, I believe. $8 billion, I think, was the number.
Yeah, but they've made most of it up already in the first, year back open.
I'm sure. But during COVID, you know, that was the losses they incurred with, of course, you know, the parks, cruise line, Disney Vacation Club, all basically stopping, right? I mean, and the movie studio to a great degree, you know, there wasn't much production going on. Obviously, theaters closed. Disney Plus helped them a ton. Without Disney Plus, I think they would be in an even worse position right now, honestly. Just the timing of that worked well for them. But all that aside, I think, I feel like people are, and not just the fan community, I think people in general are just like, you know, sick of paying the high prices, sick of the nickel and diming when they go on vacation. You know, and I think it's all going to come down to leadership. And unfortunately, I'm not sure Chapek's going to get past this one. You know, all of the cuts they've made in the past 2 years, we covered it in depth, obviously, in our last show. We talked about this a lot, but, you know, cutting Magical Express, cutting early entry, which now is back, but cutting magic bands at resorts. So, you know, you book a resort stay, you used to get complimentary magic bands. They did away with that. Now you have the option to purchase one, but you don't get a free Magic Band anymore. Paid parking, obviously. It used to be, you know, if you had a resort stay, parking was free. Now you have to pay to park at the resorts. It's, you know, it's just become ridiculous. And I think, at some point they're going to have to see, hey, what is for a long-term play here, you know, is this meeting the Disney standard, especially when it comes to Florida? I can't speak for Anaheim. I can't speak the international parks and how, you know, guest services and all that stuff, but, I can speak for Florida. And I think when it comes to Florida, it's just not what it used to be, you know? And a lot of that is the cuts from what they've decided to do. And I think that's, you know, a lot of that's, you know, on Bob Chapek's hands.
Nah, I agree. I mean, well, all right. So I'm going to use an example. I think that, yes, I know the old adage, if you want something to change with Disney, stop going. I mean, we're not going to stop going, especially people who listen to this show and us. But I think that there's starting to be a new disturbance in the force, so to speak, in Disneyana, what we do, us Disney fans. We were watching one of our friends' live stream, Resort TV One. Awesome show to watch on a Friday night.
Josh and Jenna, love those guys.
Yep, absolutely. There's a whole bunch of great streamers out there, but they're definitely at the top of our list. Been talking to them for years. Anyhow. No, we're not connected or promoting them. We just like them. While I was talking to some of the people on there, you know, in this little community that they have, there's talk that Disney wants to recontemporize the Grand Floridian. They want to update it. So, you know, the rooms definitely need updating. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But they're talking like the lobby. They want to update the lobby and everything like that.
Yeah, so
and I could tell you that almost everybody in that chat room, and we're talking, gosh, what they have, like 2,000-5,000 people watching or whatever they have. It's crazy how many people watch.
Right.
Are all saying, no, do not touch the – if you want to touch the rooms, great. The rooms need it. It looks like grandma's bedroom. I agree. They need it.
But the outside
of it, though, like, you know, there won't be a place for there's rumors won't be a place for the band to play, the piano to play.
Yep.
It's going to look like a Hilton property. Right. And everybody was extremely against that, saying, don't ruin that. Those are the aesthetics of Disney that we get. And I think that's kind of funny, though, because, you know, as you know, we're huge on Twitter. And I always see the people saying, oh, well, don't go to Disney. Oh, they're money. They're a company. Well, guess what? They're a company. They're making money because of people like us. So we have to say something.
Yeah.
We cannot be quiet. We have to say, you know, and we understand times change and things modernize and everything like that. But I'll go right back again to the street signs. And those were a big deal with a lot of people.
Oh,
and people said, oh, well, why are they a big deal? Well, I'll tell you why they're a big deal. Because a lot of us, and I have to exclude all the locals. We have plenty of friends that are locals down there. But we have to exclude the locals. We have to talk to me and Greg right now and all of us that live everywhere else in the country that can only go twice a year or once a year or once every 5 years. Those signs, when you go onto property, those purple the purple signs or the yellow, regardless if they look like they're from the 90s, those signs meant you were on property. The signs that are now, I guess maybe like in a little while, they'll kind of like be okay, but they're blue. They're kind of dull, to be honest with you. They don't look.
Yeah.
I don't
mind them completely. I think it was a shock though. It's
they're contemporizing everything and they have to stop.
It's the timing, I think, of a lot of it too. You know, I think like it's when things, and I'm one that hates change. But it's the timing of all this stuff. And I agree with you. I think when it comes to the Grand Floridian though, just to get back to that real quick, I agree that I think the rooms could use a freshening up for sure. And they'll do that, especially with, and this is big news that we haven't talked a lot about, the Polynesian getting the new DVC side of the property.
Yeah, and I think we could definitely touch on that in a minute because that we both have differing feelings, I think, kind of on that. But
yeah,
one more thought about – you just brought it up to me, so I just want to just add it real quick. The and then we'll move on. the thing you just said about the timing, right? I just want to touch on that for a second. Between us normal visitors and the cast members, timing was everything, so to speak. They're making all these changes. They're spending all this money on street signs. And they were just getting their butts back in gear, and they still had a lot of people laid off.
Right.
And they're spending all this extra money to do street signs over. That also put a little bit, I think, of a rift in the cast members. And that's something that you just shouldn't be played with.
I think there's a little bit of optics issue when it comes to that. I mean, look, they were in a bad position. I think everyone was, right? A lot of companies were in America, Disney especially. And then they were hit with not only COVID, but, you know, living wage and, you know, frontline cast members making minimum wage and living in hotels on 192, you know, 5-6 deep or more, you know, and we've heard those stories, right? And supposedly I was watching, WWNT, recently, and Tom Corliss, who we love, by the way, we love Tom. I agree with Tom on most everything. Their show is great. Production quality wise, it's bar none. He mentioned recently that there's another piece coming out soon, apparently, on hey, cast members don't make enough money. They're, you know, Disney's allowing them to live in poverty and, you know, share, you know, eat to a hotel room kind of thing. And he mentioned, you know, that there seems to be these pieces frequently, which is true. And I think I read a piece right after COVID started. There was a piece, I think it was Orlando Sentinel, maybe. Probably. I think it was National News. I think it was Orlando Sentinel, but I remember reading it, a pretty in-depth piece about, you know, and they covered kind of how far cast members drive and to get to work, and they come from all over Florida, and they're doing it for, you know, not a lot of money when rubber meets the road. But at any rate, the positives, you know, obviously we've got people back in work, which is great, you know. And like we said in the beginning of the show, you know, without good casts, that could change a ton, you know, changes your vacation completely. And it can make or break it, really. One of the big changes coming back, and I just was reading about more about this, Epcot Culture Representatives coming back, which is awesome. Having a French speaking cast in France, you know, or Mexico. Mike, you there still? Mike? I think we're having technical difficulties, folks. Sorry about that. Let's see if we can get Mike back here. I think we lost him. Here we go.
And hello?
There he is. Okay.
Hey, just to let you know, I mean, we can keep going whatever. It just stopped working for me about 50 seconds ago.
Yeah, I think there was some technical glitches there.
No, like you totally went dead. Like I was on, but I couldn't hear you anymore.
We're back now. I think we're good. Anyway, I was talking about international cast at World Showcase at Epcot. And, you know, the cultural representatives.
Yes,
much needed. That program's coming back, which is awesome, and I'm super stoked about it. That was basically it.
No, I got that much until everything else then kind of went dead. I love the fact that all those are coming back, but Are some of the now I've been hearing, and I think some of the other people have heard, we can touch on it if you want, that some of the shows are changing a bit though, or might be
the shows.
Yeah, like there's some changes that might be happening with I believe the Horseshoe Review.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I was just talking about Epcot. Oh, you're talking about just entertainment in general.
Just in general.
I hope you do. I think they were talking about some changes, yes, too. Potentially. Yeah. I don't know if that ever was confirmed. I think so Disney released something. What was this? A few weeks back now at this point. Saying that it was coming back and they were going to make some updates to it or something along that lines, you know. And I think a lot of people have speculated what those might be and kind of worried a little bit of what might change with it. You know, those purists that love the show. And I mean, listen, it's the longest running, I think, what is it? The longest running stage show or dinner show or something in America.
Something like that. It goes back to that. If it's not broke,
right,
don't fix it.
Right.
And I understand we're part of an awakening culture. We'll just say that. I've done that show so many times and I really can't think of anything crazily bad that is wrong with it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It's just one of those things where I always thought it was just a fun show. I mean, I always hate being called on, but it's just a fun show. And it's kind of one of those things, again, if it's not broke and it's not hurting anybody intentionally, just, you know, let it be.
I think, not to get too, like, you know, off the rails here, but I think there's always something that today's society can find wrong with something, no matter what it is, unfortunately, or fortunately, in some cases. I think when it comes to Disney, too, it's tough, right? Like, there, you know, something like Hoop to Do, which meant there may be some cultural sensitivities and some tweaks they can make here and there in the show, which they probably will, I'm sure. And modernize it and whatever. But it's also the longest running dinner show, continuously dinner show, whatever in America. It's you know, one of the original shows, when the resort opened in 71, still operating, you know? So there's a lot to be said about it from a historical standpoint. So to lose those things for, wokeness is, you know, would be too bad, but.
And we're not against wokeness, folks. We aren't at all. We're just using it as it's very needed in culture right now. It's very needed in the world. We're just using it kind of as a springboard of being like, okay, look, is it necessary to change it to an extent where we don't remember it?
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, and that's the thing. So it'll remain to be seen who knows what will happen. But glad it's back, you know. Other big news, you know, a couple more massive things. One, and we're going to talk about this a little more later, Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, obviously open. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on it because everyone and their brother has covered this thing, has been on it. Mike and I have not been on it yet. We probably never will go on it, to be quite honest with you. I don't know about you, dude, but I have no interest in spending that kind of money to go on that thing, which literally is a 2-day dinner cruise. Now, you could break down the dollars and rationalize it in your mind, but for me, I'm not that into Star Wars to make it worthwhile. I think it's cool and I appreciate it and I can appreciate what they did. I mean, obviously the thing is gorgeous. The acting that they got equity actors to perform on this thing during the voyages. And they, you know, I've watched all the videos and everything, and they look like they do a great job, you know, from all accounts. The food seems pretty good, you know, seemingly, and all that. So it's cool, you know. It's neat. We've joked, you and I, a lot about the box truck to bring people to Bet 2, you know, from the Star Cruiser.
I think the best way to put it is, I think everything about it is cool and amazing. We can definitely talk about that. But I think our friend over there, Pete Warner at the Diz, put it the best way. It's the Hotel Ishtar. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Google it. It's hilarious, by the way. But basically, it's not – I give it maybe 2 years before it's
I agree.
Something. Are you still there, Greg?
Yeah, still here.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. Are you there? I'm losing you again, Greg.
No, I'm here still. I just didn't know if you had anything to say. Sorry.
Oh, my fault, buddy. We're still getting used to the whole muting out, because it just makes the audio that much better with the pod being. No. I was deferring that one to you.
I agree with you completely. That's the one thing. And even when I first saw the videos, I was like, wow, they did an awesome job. And they did. It was clear that they gave – you know, they gave Imagineering, you know, full carte blanche to do whatever they wanted within the Star Wars universe. They gave them the budget they needed to do it, and they said, go wild. And that's what they created. And I think, you know, it's awesome. It really is. And it starts making you think, like, geez, could this be something that they do with other properties? You know, is there a Marvel thing that they could do where it's a, you know, you come stay 2 nights and then you go into the parks. There's a, you know, what other properties could they use it for? But to your point about Hotel Ishtar, that, you know, Pete Warner from the Diz has said a lot about, I agree. Like, I don't think at this price point it can survive. I just don't. I don't know who's going to – and I just said to myself, I'm never going to spend that kind of money. You know, and, you know, I don't have that kind of money. Okay. But even if I did, like, it doesn't do anything for me. If it does for you, good for you. Great. And I'm not trying to bash it all, because I do think it's cool. I really do. And I appreciate the, you know, what was going into it and the acting and everything. I mean, they've really created a pretty immersive environment. But for me, it just, I don't know. And it could be because I'm not a Star Wars guy, really.
Not necessarily true, because we both, when we go down with our families, we both enjoy Galaxy's Edge.
It's awesome.
Cool. I mean, we both like the movies. We're not hardcore Star Wars fans. Exactly. What this is kind of geared towards, the thing about it is
I just think they run out of those fans, right?
Well, that's the question is how long can they consistently keep people coming in at that price point before they have to lower it? But with all the acting, with all the technology, with all the, you know, you're basically on a 2-day Disney cruise.
Yep.
Is what you are. How low can they really go where
I know.
The experience,
you've got all the food included, and, you know, they're saying this is like a, you know, supposed to be a quote unquote luxury hotel. And they're saying the service is there, you know, it's, you know, they pick up, you know, right from when you pull up in the porte cochere out front, you know, it's a white glove service. They're taking your luggage, they bring it to your room, you get on the transporter thing, you fly up, you know, to the nudge to the Star Cruiser. And the adventures you go on during your stay and, you know, everything you're learning. I thought was interesting is they just announced, I know you and I are talking about this too. What was it, last week or when this week even? that Disney, the Busted Disney Springs was going to be discontinued. So they were running a bus service.
That was weird.
Yeah, to Disney Springs. They were trying to operate like any other hotel on property. If you wanted to go to Disney Springs, you know, they didn't want to have you trapped there. And then obviously from Springs, you could go, you know, anywhere you wanted to go. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So they got rid of that. But it shows that there's so much to do. And everything I've seen about this and read about it in videos and podcasts I've, you know, listened to and whatever has been that it's – there's so much to take in. There's so much to do. And you can really have multiple different experiences along the way. And in many cases, you probably will. You know, and the experience that, you know, I have might not be what you have, and the experience that I have, you know, this week might not be what I have a year from now, you know, that it's constantly changing and evolving, and which is also kind of cool. Like, that's the fact that they've built that into it, and there's a sort of like quote unquote rewritability factor to it. It's pretty neat, you know. But what we were getting at, it's the pricing for me that just, I just don't see it. I don't see there being enough people who are like, yes, that's what I want to do. Let's pack up the family and go stay 2 nights at the Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. And maybe they'll do it. Maybe there's going to be people who have disposable income to toss around that are going to say, you know, we're going to go, I'm going to bring the family down. We're going to do a week stay. And for 2 nights of that, we're going to stay at the Galactic Star Cruiser, and we're going to do a, you know, a voyage and to kind of as an add-on, you know?
I think like this first year or whatever like that, I honestly think like they'll probably turn a profit. It's more of how long after year one, year two, can they consistently
sustain it? Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And what do you, honestly though, if it gets shut down, like what, other than a storage building, like what else can you use that for? You know, there's no windows. It's, you know what I mean? It's so technologically heavy on it. I mean,
and you and I both talked a lot about this. Obviously we haven't done a show in a year, so, okay. But we've talked a lot about this, just like, you know, whatever, before it even opened. And like, what would they do? Just kind of spitballing. If this didn't work out, and if like, let's say it only lasts like a year or two or three, right? And obviously Disney has some, they don't go into anything without thinking, what are we going to do with this in X amount of years? Nothing. They have it all planned out. They have to. And I think with this, they must have had to, because it's not something that's, they're building the Riviera. Right, where they're like, oh, this is going to last for whatever the building's life is, 50 years or whatever it's going to be. And then, you know, it's a hotel. Like, it's almost like building a ride, right, where, you know, like it's only going to last so long.
Yeah, right.
I think one of the issues that, because like you and I were talking about, you know, the fact that it's going to be screens would allow it to, you would think, easily be transferable to something else. You know, those rooms could have screens that showed a city skyline or water, right? Like you're on a cruise or something different. What I didn't think about though, and it was evident when, you know, we started watching the videos about Galactic Star Cruiser, is how immersive it was and how in depth the sets, I'll call it, you know, the set dressing is, because I think that's almost tougher. It's like, when I first heard about this, I really thought it was going to be like more like Space 220, where there's, you know, giant walls of screens. I was thinking of that, not so much like sort of very defined portholes, you know, in this starship and everything is themed. Everything is Star Wars. You know, so how do you easily, like, sort of de-Star Wars-fy that whole thing? I mean, they could do it. They've done it tons of times in other attractions without demolishing the thing. But I think it would be tough. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do that. I mean, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to see. I think, if anything, what I would, I guess maybe this is my thought on it, my resort development degree I don't use since I'm a conductor for Amtrak now. But anyways, my thought about that when they first did this was, you know, okay, well, let's say this works really well.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yep.
You know, maybe it doesn't. Maybe we do change it up because now we can bring people anywhere in the world with these screens.
Right.
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 Even though the way that okay, back up for a second, because like you, I watched all the live streams. There was one that somebody did. We're not going to name them because I don't remember who it was. They did like a 48-hour stream of it pretty much. Then they just broke it down to like, you know, hour, like by like every 2 hours or like, you know, this is like part one was from here to here, whatever. And I watched like all like 10 parts. And don't get me wrong. If I had the money, I'd do it. It's amazing. But the thing about it is like, it's not going to be easy to transfer over to something else because of all the inside rooms that they've already built.
Right.
It looks like something on a Star Wars. It looks like the way that the beds are, the way that the in the wall beds are, and the way that the screens are in the room. I mean, if you were to make it like an around the world Epcot hotel or something like that, or something like that, you'd have to like redo the rooms. It would be an expansive amount of money, but
I
do wonder if, in my mind, what I would do. So this is Mike's resort degree. He doesn't use anywhere. Thoughts. Bing bing. We need a sound bell for that. what I would be doing is seeing that if people are coming in, they're doing this right. Okay, Star Wars is way too, I wouldn't say niche, but there's just a smaller market. What if we put something like this, say, let's say up in Connecticut, somewhere like that, and we made it into a Disney-themed resort where you can have four different floors that represent four different parks. So you could stay in the Epcot wing, or you can take like a group of cluster of 10 rooms. That's like the Port Orleans rooms, and this is like the contemporary rooms. And with all the screen technology and doing a little set designing, we could really make you feel like, okay, you're going to walk out on the balcony and we have a big screen that shows you Bay Lake, a live view of Bay Lake. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. I mean, if I was, you know, part of that team going through, I'd already be seeing in the future, we can take this concept out of state. We don't have to worry about building a huge amount of land in a park. We can literally put a floor of different resorts and we can put a floor on top of it where you could go into a virtual, but all the screens, virtual ride Disney.
I think that's a good idea. I think the virtual thing is tough because I think if then you do, how much do you devalue the actual experience of traveling to the resort? You know, like actually going to Florida instead of just saying, "Well, I'm going to go to."
I understand that. I think that there would still be a bigger market if that happened. I mean, there's some families, like I said, that only get down there once a year. I mean, we're lucky when we weren't in COVID, we were doing twice a year. You know what I mean? Both of us were. And so, you know, they want to expand the DVC. It's not about you wouldn't – if you put a hotel like that there, right?
Right.
In some place like up here in Connecticut or Maine or someplace – I don't know, something like that. Or up in Canada or whatever. The whole point is that just that hotel part of it, it doesn't have to be exclusive like, oh, you're Star Wars, you have to this. No, hotel will have 10 rooms of each resort. And then when you actually go outside of your room, there's an actual beach. There's an actual forest. There's an actual whatever. But the whole point is you feel like you're actually coming into I don't know. It's the technology is there.
No, I agree. I think the concept's awesome, and I agree with you. Like, there's something they could do with it for sure. And it's interesting you bring up DBC, because what about using that for a plus up, you know, especially regionally? In DBC, I know I explored this a long time ago and never moved forward with it, because there was concept art for a Disney's White Mountain Lodge in New Hampshire that we've seen lots of over the years. Never came to fruition, but there was definitely a regional, and obviously you have Hilton Head and Vero, but what about, you know, creating a space where it's, you know, like you're saying, you can go experience, and maybe it's Alani, right? And it's like rooms themed like Alani, and it's the live view of the beach there, you know, when you look out of your window, or the same with the contemporary, you know, it's like, and they sort of use it as a tool to drive you to take, you know, to eventually come to the resort instead of doing it kind of quote unquote virtually. I think it'd be interesting. Don't think it solves the problem what they do with Galaxy's or Galactic Star Cruiser once they run out of gas, but.
Yeah, I mean, but I do got a cool announcement though I can make to kind of everybody here.
Well, up here.
We're gonna start doing, because by popular demand, believe it or not, people said it over Twitter. Not many, because you know we're still after 7 years still trying to build our friends. but the whole little bit of weekly weather, we're gonna try to. Greg is gonna try to expand his weather to a week, so, or through the weekend. So like we did today, Sunday. So maybe he'll bring it through. I don't know what you're doing. You're trying to figure out something, but a little bit of actual weekly weather. And that way we can split the show up just a little bit with like two weather reports and a little bit of a break. That way we stay fresh. Yep. I think that we were talking about that. So, I can't wait to see, when that's going to happen, man. I'm excited that this is all your – I'm excited when you talked about it. I'm excited to see how it works out.
Well, let's do it right now. How about right now? So let's do a quick weather update. Lake Buena Vista, Florida, currently 73 degrees Fahrenheit, clear skies. Give me the forecast for a week ahead. So Monday we've got a little bit of showers, obviously 30% chance of rain. You might get wet. But it's not going to be a ton. It's high of 86, low of 70. And we're in beautiful temps, guys. All throughout the week, 80s, high 80s, actually getting hot towards next weekend. And, of course, you know, those 3 o'clock showers always popping up. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all looking beautiful. In the 80s, low of 79, 60s at night. Beautiful weather. Open up those windows and great sleeping weather. So, great weather ahead throughout Walt Disney World and Central Florida in general.
All right. All right. That is awesome. You got to enjoy that weather. There's no doubt about it. How about we take a quick little break? Let's reset, and we'll see you on Dre Little Music, and we'll see you in about a minute or so.
And we're back, folks. Greg here. I think Mike is joining us momentarily. I'm not sure if he's back or not.
Yes. Yep. I'm back.
All right. Awesome. So a little break there, but good to have you guys back. So Mike, wanted to move on to our next topic. This will be a good one. One we said we'd stay away from, but I wanted to dive in this a little bit because I do think it's interesting from a Disney historical standpoint, which I always love to cover, and something we would enjoy talking about. So, if you've been watching the news, you've probably seen, news, about Florida's, parental guidelines bill and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. So, he's been rattling Disney's cage kind of, in backlash to that bill. And Bob Chapek has now spoken on it, saying that he wants to overturn the bill and that Disney won't stop until they get it overturned. Now, obviously, and I don't want to get political or anything, but, you know, we're all for any types of folks there is, and everybody, and Disney should be too. It's for everyone. Part of this is, obviously, yes, Ron DeSantis is a Republican. He's a conservative. He has certain views. I think, those, aren't aligning with some of the Disney community, obviously, in this, regard, but, for something new. And so, you know, take it for what you will, but he's, saying now that he's going to examine the Reedy Creek Improvement District and Disney's situation as in regards to its self-governance down there in Florida. So this is very interesting because they've had essentially the Disney company, the Walt Disney Company, has had the ability to self-govern its property in Florida, Lake Buena Vista and the city of Bay Lake, the two cities that make up Walt Disney World, for its entire existence. Since 1967, I believe, it got passed. Park opened in 71, the resort opened in 71. So they've had this for a while, and it is in so in depth that they could, in fact, open a nuclear power plant if they wanted to. That's how crazy it is. So basically what happened, they give you a quick 10-cent tour. And again, as I understand it, I try to be a Disney historian. I'm not a Jim Corcus or a Jim Hill, but I try to be. Walt Disney lobbied at the time Governor Hayden Burns of Florida to allow him to have Walt Disney World Resort to be its own government. And the reason for that was basically Walt had planned on building a city there, with the city of Epcot, a future city, Progress City, right? USA. That never happened. Part of that was because Walt died in 1966. He left, obviously, the plans for Epcot, but they weren't finished. They weren't realized ever. And both his brother Roy and the leadership at that time believed that it was just better to have a theme park than a city. They didn't want to deal with the problems that having a city could bring. I read somewhere that people were going to live there for 2 years, and that was going to be the limit for where they
four. It might have been four.
So maybe that could have helped, kind of quell some of the issues. You know what I mean? But still, people were going to live there. Like, there was going to be problems. There was going to be conflicts. There was going to be crime, probably. It wasn't going to be perfect, even though they were trying to make it perfect, right? So they didn't want to have to deal with that, which, to their credit, I would have done the same. I would have done the same thing. But getting back to our story, the state of Florida gave, and Walt talked him into it, because they were going to build this futuristic city of the future, and it was going to be a model for new urbanism for all of America, right? That they gave them the ability to self-govern the whole property, which means, you know, they can do a lot. They can build roads however they want to. They can speed up the process of getting things done. Whereas other parks, Universal, you know, particularly, can't do that. They have to go through Florida, the state of Florida, Orange County, in the city of Orlando, to get things done. Whereas Disney can just pretty much has carte blanche to do what they want within reason, in terms of rides and buildings and all that kind of stuff. They have their own building inspector in Reedy Creek. They have their own, you know, maintenance and construction, everything. Disney has its own telephone company. Disney has its own, you know, power energy plant. So anyway, because of all that, they also there's a tax loophole here as well, right? Disney has its, you know, the ability to govern this. I mean, let's face it, Walt Disney World Resort is the size of the city of San Francisco. So it's a major city. They have the third largest bus fleet in the state of Florida after Miami and Jacksonville. And one of the largest in the nation, right? Like, when you start thinking about all of these things of how big it is, it almost makes sense of why they had to make their own city. But Ron DeSantis is saying, well, now we should look at this. They've had this forever. Epcot never got built, which is the one thing I think they could have them on, is that, listen, the state got into this with you with the pretense that you were going to build a city, the city of Epcot, and it was going to happen, and that was the plan. Well, it never did. And now you've raked in the money for years and years and years. And yes, the theme parks employ lots of Floridians and bring in numerous tax dollars a year, right? Billions in tourism. But, you know, you should pay your fair share too. So the one thing that really has me kind of perplexed about this is that I read somewhere that if they were to overturn Reedy Creek, and basically, you know, Disney wouldn't be able to have its own city anymore, which therefore wouldn't allow them to do whatever they wanted, that it could mean that the surrounding towns or say the cities that the resort is in would have to incur, like the taxpayers would have to pay for like the roads and all that kind of stuff, which to me really seems unfair, you know, like. So let's think about this, for example, right? Animal Kingdom is in Osceola County, right? Osceola County is, you know, Kissimmee's part of it, Claremont, some of the towns to the west of property. Mm-hmm. But if you go over to, like, Disney Springs, that's in Orange County. Orange County, obviously, is where Orlando is. That's also Kissimmee, St. Cloud. You know, in all of the towns sort of to the east, right? And north, north of Orlando. So would that mean that Orlando, Windermere and all that, do they have to then, Windermere has to pay taxes to pay for Disney's roadways? And like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess they could vote on it, I suppose, right? They'd be able to have a say
on what happened. So what you're basically saying is that the county would be responsible for maintenance and everything like that?
I think so. Yeah.
I guess. I mean, that's a big cluster. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where DeSantis needs to realize, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
I think he's being stupid. I think he's being petty, honestly, and he's trying, you know, he's you know, hey, Chad, if you're gonna say stuff about me and try to throw, you know, this whole thing for a loop, well, I'll screw you guys over too. And by the way, you know, no one's reviewed this in years, and we're going to now, and That's not something Disney wants to have to deal with.
That's right. And
it's going to be a real problem.
If you're listening to us and, like, you know, kind of just trying to figure out what on the political side we stand for, whatever, like that, we are all on the same page with everybody on Twitter of how we feel about the bill and everything like that. We're trying to just get away from the politics and go to the news story of what DeSantis is trying to do to Disney to get back at them because of the legitimate pushback that should be given. So,
right.
I just want to state that clear because I don't want people to think like, oh my God, they're, you know, they're bigots. They're not for it. No. We are not for the bill. We are with everybody else that's there. We're just trying to say we're trying to focus on exactly what DeSantis is trying to do to Disney, which is just obscure. That's even the wrong word. Like, I don't have words for it. Like, just setting the record straight.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I just think there's such a big, like, this is a and no one's really, not a lot of people have talked about this. I think it's a major thing. I really do, because I think, like, listen, there's so much that goes on at that place every day that, who knows? I mean, Reed Creek is its own thing, right? Like, they do whatever they want. Like, Disney can get away with so much because they have control over the
Okay, well, let's think about this. It's okay. I understand what we're saying here about you know, what we're talking about here with Disney and Reedy Creek. You know, when this started in 71, you had one theme park and a couple hotels.
Right.
71 years later. Not 71. Wow. 50 years later.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking Disneyland. 50 years later. All right. Look how much. Well, 71. I think in 1971, I even Disneyland. Anyways, sorry, folks. It's 2 a.m. here. 50 years later, how massive. It's bigger than Manhattan. How massive it is. It has its own power plant. It has its own this. It has its own that. It had an airport at one point. It has a, you know,
its own EMS, its own fire.
It needs it, and they actually need more.
Right.
Reed Creek Fire needs more people to run that because of the amount of calls going up.
And they
now you're going like, to say
an
now you're going
to 70
hold on.
Calls a day. A day.
Hold on, right. So now you're going to say. Right. Sanders is going to say, well, Reedy Creek isn't real because there was never a city built, so you got to disband it.
Right.
And Orange County, Osceola County has to now pick up the bill.
Right.
And so
– I guess. Okay. I mean, what else – I would think
so. So where does Reedy Creek Firehouse – I mean, there's going to be so much layover time just to get the union straight for the fire and the EMS.
Yeah, I agree. I think there'd be a massive tax implication for Disney. I'm guessing too, right? Like there would have to be some sort of massive tax thing on Disney to make up for some of that, because you're right though. And that's what I'm saying. Like they're going to stick Osceola County and Orange County with having to deal with, you know, the influx of you know, fire and EMS and all that stuff. Now they do with police. Like you go, you know, if you're on property, you'll see Orange County sheriffs and Osceola County sheriff, you know, in on property protecting the parks alongside Disney security. But I don't know. It's just I just feel like there's a lot there that could really hurt Disney. And I think it's DeSantis trying to be petty a little bit about this whole thing. I think he's trying to stick to them a little bit. And it came a little bit of surprise to me too, only because, DeSantis didn't, or DeSantis, Chapek didn't come out right away about this either. It took some time and a lot of people, you know, yelling for him too. But, you know, well, the Disney company is pro Florida. They always have been. They're moving Imagineering from Glendale to Lake Nona, right? They're building the huge complex over there. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
A lot of that is because California's been so bad during COVID, especially. And they said, you know what? Florida's pro business. Screw it. We're gonna pick up our ball and leave. And we're gonna go to Florida. We're gonna build down there. It's cheaper to build. It's fine to people like to live there, you know. Great climate. We're gonna move our staff there. And boom, you know, and that's what they're doing. So I thought it was interesting that this is all happening on the heels of that, only because they're making not that they already hadn't, but they're making even a bigger investment on long-term being there, you know, in Central Florida and, you know, obviously moving hundreds of cast members there. So we'll see what happens. It's interesting, but
yeah, unfortunately, like, I'd love to talk more like about the ins and outs, because I don't know like how you disband Reedy Creek and then
right,
like how like it's Disney's cool. So self-sufficient. The problem is Disney's so self-sufficient,
right.
Like
right,
they own the property, so I mean, I guess they just default back to a tax-paying property. I mean. Right. I guess that would be where it all comes back to, really.
Right. You know, if you had like, and like, I guess take the theme parks away. If you had any kind of, you know, hotel, resort, shopping district, whatever, you'd fall under wherever you are, right? In terms of, you know, fire, EMS, security, policing, whatever, law enforcement. So. Yeah.
So what it sounds like, I'm not a smart man here when it comes to politics, but what it sounds like is DeSantis is thinking that if he can push Reedy Creek out, that all the, like, basically if he was like, okay, I need the votes, like the counties, Osceola, Orange would actually go for it, because then Disney would become its own self-sufficient property, but they'd have to pay two taxes to do different counties, which would be through the roof.
Yeah,
the counties would make out like bandits, but
so like I'm sure
the counties don't want to do it, because why again bite the hand that feeds you?
I'm sure they are now. I'm not saying they're not paying taxes, but there's going to be more. Like if you're a business in Osceola County, and all of a sudden, and obviously Disney's going to be using all of the services much more than your little business is going to be, you know, like that's not fair, like at all. So there'd be some sort of compromise there. I'm sure. But what that is, who knows? So.
Well, yeah, but wait, Reedy Creek, right?
Yeah.
Is technically not part of a county. I don't believe. I think they just pay. I mean, I could be wrong with that, but I think they just pay the state of Florida. Because they like are their own county right now, aren't they? So I don't know how it is. It's this is the political thing, but I know it's a good discussion. That's something like I kind of would like to maybe next show we have, if we can find somebody that understands it, like Ken Story, somebody that understands how that works.
I think you're right, because
it would be something to talk about.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, because Reedy Creek is the Reedy Creek Improvement District, right? That's the official name, RCID, and that is comprised of the cities of Bay Lake, Florida, which is basically the northern part of Walt Disney World, think like Magic Kingdom area, and Lake Buena Vista, which is everything else, right? Especially the southern part. So, it's those two communities that make up that, you know, that area. I'm not sure if that's within those counties still, or maybe it is, but it's not like the taxpayer, you know, kind of situation. So I don't know. We'll have to find out more about that, but
yep.
But at any rate, this has been a good show, man. I don't know if you have any final thoughts or stuff we're missing.
No, I didn't expect it to end, but I realized look what time it is too, and it's also almost time for the Easter Bunny to hop along.
Oh yeah.
Let's see here. We touched upon. I mean, there's so much that's been going on since we haven't talked. No. Obviously, Harmonious is out there. We probably should touch on the changing of fireworks real quick. Harmonious and what's the one or Magic Kingdom? I call it Dead Emotions. But what's it called? It's
Dead Emotions.
They never should have changed Happily Ever After.
I love Happily
Ever. I still run it every night. I actually bought the Lego castle. It is worth the $300 if you can afford it, or whatever the heck it is, probably more than that. But once you build it, the thing's huge. Keep that in mind. But it's also very easy to get a lighting kit. Lighting kit runs probably by another like 100. It's worth it to light the castle. Greg's seen it. It's amazing. And then the best part about it is I got it in a corner, so with a nice white wall behind it. Once it gets dark enough, I have a projector. I can actually, and I haven't showed you this yet, Greg. I have to actually tape it for you, but I can project right onto the castle. It picks up very nice, and the wall picks up the other towers that don't come with the set. They haven't made those, but I can literally match the castle up on how far back my projector is, so I can literally watch Happily Ever After on the castle, and the whole castle just lights up like you're right there.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's I love it.
Yeah, the new show. What is the new show called? No, I'm drawing a blank now too. Happily Ever After.
I call it Emotions.
It's not Emotions. Mm-hmm. What the hell is it? I just watched it the other night too. Oh, you know, I don't think it's bad though. I loved Happily Ever After. I agree, but I also loved the show before that. I also loved Wishes, and I was pissed when Happily Ever After came. So you know, it is what it is. Harmonious, totally different deal. Totally different deal. Not even the same ballpark. And comparing that to Illuminations, give me a break. It's not even the same thing. It doesn't invoke this emotion. It doesn't. It doesn't. None of it. None of it is. This was about pushing IP into the fireworks spectacular at night and how we get it into that park. That's what this was about. And we needed to change. They wanted to change, you know, which I don't blame them for that. But those barges, they're an eyesore. They're an eyesore. I during the day, they look like trash. They failed on the whole water fountain curtain thing during the day, and they finally gave up on it. And they're just, those things should not be moored in the middle of World Showcase Lagoon. They should be going back and coming out from the marina, which I read that there was a plan to expand that marina backstage so that those could come out, you know, and have them maybe have moorings or whatever in World Showcase Lagoon, but have those come out similar to how the Globe did, you know, pre the fireworks each evening, and have all, you know, maybe five of those pieces basically float out on their, you know, and anchor, and, you know, there they are. That never happened, obviously. Part of it was they had to expand the drawbridge across the walkway over there by between like China and Equatorial Africa, like over there, you know, in that area, there's that drawbridge. So that was one of the problems. And then expanding, obviously, the marina itself, widening it to fit all the stuff. I just think like, so they could have done that, and it would have cost how many millions. But also, you would have had it done, and then you could have fit anything you wanted. And instead, we chose the easy option, which was just to put the stuff in the middle of the lagoon and keep it there.
Right.
Like, and now we're stuck for forever. Like, I don't know. to me, it seems silly.
I don't know.
I think, honestly, isn't so much about the screens for me and the arms and all that. The show itself. I just think that show just lacks so much. I mean, there's fun parts of it, but it lacks emotion to me that Illuminations had so much of, in a connection to the park itself and what the park stands for. And
right.
This has none of that, you know. It's, again, it's just throwing IP in and sprinkling in, oh, yeah, well, you can kind of squint and, you know, Lion King is from Equatorial Africa, so, you know. And Mulan's from China, so, you know.
Right. No, I mean, we all know how we all feel about the IP and everything going on. Yeah. It's a hard nut to crack right there.
On the other hand, when it comes to Epcot, the light show on Spaceship Earth,
yeah,
been fantastic. Fantastic. And, like, how have they – I mean, that, I think, is one of the biggest undersold stories of the 50th.
What's that, the light show on?
On Spaceship Earth.
Oh, yeah, I know. And the monorails.
And the monorail. You and I were talking about that today. The under lights on the monorail. I totally forgot about that. Like, those two things have been fabulous, and I think it added a ton to the resort. So, but, yeah. Lots of changes in the spectacle world, for sure.
Definitely.
Kite Tales over at Animal Kingdom.
That's gone, isn't it?
It's still there. It's still there. They changed up some of the puppetry on the shore there, you know, in the bleachers, in the stands there. I guess some of that changed, but no, it's still cranking along. So we'll see what happens to that thing. But
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of changes.
No, absolutely. So, well, Mike, I think this is going to be a good one. Let's call it a night. And, again, everyone, thank you for listening in. Happy Easter for those of you who celebrate as that's coming up tomorrow. One last quick thing, and feel free to chime in if you have any ideas on, tips, stories, news, rumors you've heard.
Yeah, definitely.
Trip planning tips, if you have those, whatever it might be. We have a hotline, actually, you can call in. I should have mentioned this earlier in the show. I totally forgot. But we have a new hotline. It is Orlando area code 407-283-7970. That's 407-283-7970. And that is the Resort Ears hotline. Call in. Leave us a voicemail message. Whether you love the show, hate the show, want to see it change, want me to be fired, whatever you want. Call it in. Leave the message, and we'll see what we can do. So we'd love to hear your feedback. And, again, if you have any tips, news, you've been on a trip, you want to, you know, tell us about a great dining experience you had, or tips in the parks, or a resort you love staying at, or whatever it might be. So give us a call again, 407-283-7970. That's our Resort Nears Radio hotline. So that's going to be it for tonight, folks. Thank you for joining us. It's been a long time coming. Mike and I have been waiting and putting off this to have a show, but